Almighty God, graciously behold this your family for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men and to suffer death on the cross. Through the same Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for Good Friday from Isaiah chapters 52 and 53. Words that were written 700 years before our Lord's crucifixion, but written about our Lord. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness, so he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. Merciful and everlasting God, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all to bear our sins on the cross. Grant that our hearts may be so fixed with steadfast faith in Him that we fear not the power of sin, death, and the devil. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapters 4 and 5. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. This is the word of the Lord. Almighty and everlasting God, who willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross, that you might remove from us the power of the adversary, help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive forgiveness of sin and redemption from everlasting death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back, fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those you have given me, I have lost not one." And Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest, but Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, so they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, if you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, behold your king. And they cried out, away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. They took Jesus and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And there they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side and Jesus between them. Stand. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but rather this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Thank you, dear friend.
since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it is borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. And so because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. In the name of Jesus. Why did Jesus become a human? Why is it that he made sure that he had lungs that would breathe, a heart with beats, a body that emitted brain waves? For this reason, so that his heart could stop, so that his lungs could cease breathing, his body could cease emitting brain waves. He became a human so that he could die. God the Father cannot die. God the Holy Spirit cannot die. God cannot die. unless he becomes what we are, a human with a body that can be killed. And that is precisely what God the Son did. And so this Lent, we have been taking Pilate up on his invitation, not the way Pilate meant it, but the way God means it. Behold the man who is also God, the God who does what you would expect no God would ever do. He dies. Dear Christians, look at your hands. Hands that have reached out greedily for what is not given. Hands that have been too slow to help people who are in need. Hands that have not done the work that you have been called to do by your God. Repentantly behold the man's hands. Hands that fashioned Adam out of dirt. Hands that the night before had fed the disciples his body and his blood after those hands had washed their feet. Hands that healed a lame man, touched a deaf man's ear. Hands that raised that loaf and said, "This is my body." Hands now pierced with spikes, searing with pain as they try to pull up Jesus' body, because that is the only way that you can get rid of the carbon dioxide that's killing you and take in new oxygen. And then let yourself back down each time, those hands ripping even more. Behold his hands. And then look at your feet. Feet that do not always walk in the ways of your Lord. Feet that have gone the direction you wanted to go instead of the direction that your Lord gives you to go. And then repentantly look at the man's feet. Feet that Mary had washed with her tears, wiped with her hair, anointed with nard. Feet that had walked from town to town proclaiming that the kingdom of God had arrived in the midst of the kingdom of Satan to cast it out and to overcome it. Feet now pierced by nails and racked with excruciating pain as they seek to push that body up, though they're nailed, to get the next breath. Feet that are supporting the body that is answering for our sinfulness. Feet that are crushing Satan's head, even as he's being crucified. Christians, consider your mind that wanders to places it should not be, with thoughts that you do not want anyone to know about, that you wish God did not know about. In repentance, consider the head of Christ, the man's head that should be crowned with majesty and glory, that rightfully should be anointed as the everlasting heir to David's throne. A head that has no place to lay, and now bows beneath a sign that mockingly said, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." A head that is crowned with thorns, blood springing out of each puncture in his skull. Bernard of Clairvaux reflected on that head 1,000 years ago, the hymn we just sang, "O Sacred Head Now Wounded, with grief and shame weighed down. O Sacred Head, what glory and bliss did once combine. Though now despised and gory, I joy to call you mine." As you draw breaths into this body that is inclined to do evil instead of good, that has nothing but sinful intentions inside of it. Behold the man's lungs that first breathed life into Adam back in the garden. Now, filling with fluid, those lungs are, as he goes nearer and nearer to death. Lungs that gasp to get rid of the carbon dioxide that is killing him. Lungs that gasp one more breath of oxygen and breathe with a loud voice, "It is finished," as he hands his spirit over as payment to appease God's rightful wrath against you and me. Behold his bones. Bones that would ordinarily have been crushed, smashed by the soldier's hammer to hasten his death so that he could no longer push up with those leg bones and he would suffocate more quickly. But in Jesus' case, the bones are not broken because God wants to make sure that his Old Testament law about the Passover lamb is fulfilled. It is to be an unblemished lamb. Not one of its bones are to be broken, lest anyone think that there is something defective about this sacrifice. Dear Christians, look at your skin that covers over a body that is filled with sinfulness, ungodly inclinations, desires that want to do your way instead of God's way. And repentantly behold the skin of that man, stabbed by a soldier's spear, spewing out blood and water. Blood to fill the chalice, water to fill the font that give us our Christian lives and sustain those Christian lives. Blood and water that allow you and me to say, "He has redeemed me. A lost and condemned person. He has redeemed me. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own." Behold the man's blood. Blood that was first shed when he was an 8-day-old infant circumcised into his father's family. Blood foreshadowed. Every day of atonement as the high priest entered the most holy place and splashed sacrificial goat blood on the mercy seat of God and then turned and splashed sacrificial blood on the people that they might know that their sins had been atoned for. Who puts that blood into a chalice, pours it into your mouth and mine so that we might not have that blood splashed on us but poured into us so that you might know that your sin has been atoned for, that you are God's own. Behold the blood of the eternal high priest, the blood by which he enters the most holy place once for all and tears down the curtain that separates you from your Creator. Behold the hands and the feet, the head and the lungs, the bones and the blood of the man. But do not behold them thinking that this is some kind of cosmic tragedy. No. Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord." This is the very reason that he became a human. Behold the man. The man who came to endure with his body all that pain so that you wouldn't have to bear that pain for all eternity. Who put on a body so that he could lay down his life in place of you. That is why this is not Bad Friday, but Good Friday. And on this Good Friday, behold the man, Jesus. And as you behold him, behold the God who does what you would expect no God to do. He dies for his people. In the name of Jesus. Let us pray for the whole Christian church on earth and for all people. Almighty and everlasting God, since you have revealed your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ and in the word of his truth, keep, we ask you, in safety the works of your mercy, so that your church, spread through all the nations, may be defended against the adversary and may serve you in true faith and persevere in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for our catechumens. Almighty God and Father, because you always grant growth to your church, increase the faith and the understanding of those who are learning the Christian faith, that rejoicing in their new birth by the water of holy baptism, they may forever continue in the family of those you adopt as your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for our government and for all in authority. Merciful Father in heaven, because you hold in your hand all the might of men, and because you have ordained for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do well all the powers that exist in the nations of the world, we humbly pray you graciously to regard your servants, especially our president, our governor, the Congress, and the legislature of Illinois, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, so that all who receive the sword as your ministers may bear it according to your word. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray, our Lord God Almighty, that he would deliver the world from error, take away disease, ward off famine, grant health to the sick, peace to the grieving, and a safe journey to those who travel. Almighty and everlasting God, the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of the weak, may the prayers of those who in any tribulation or distress cry to you graciously come before you, so that in all their necessities they may rejoice in your manifold help and comfort. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray for those outside the church. Almighty and everlasting God, because you seek not the death but the life of all, hear our prayers for all who have no right knowledge of you. Free them from their error, and to the glory of your name, bring them into the fellowship of your holy church. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray for peace. Almighty and everlasting God, Lord of heaven and earth, by whose spirit all things are governed, by whose providence all things are ordered, grant us, we implore you, your heavenly peace, that we may serve you in true fear, doing your will to the praise and glory of your holy name and living as is fitting for Christians. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray for our enemies. Almighty and everlasting God, through your only Son, our blessed Lord, you've commanded us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, and to pray for those who persecute us. We therefore earnestly pray that you would grant to our enemies everything that they need and everything beneficial to their salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray for the crops and for thankful hearts to enjoy God's gifts. O Lord Almighty, by your word you created and you continue to bless and uphold all things. Grant to us fruitful fields and reveal to us your word, our Lord Jesus Christ, that through his dwelling in our hearts we may by your grace be made ready to receive your blessing on all the fruits of the earth and on everything that pertains to our bodily needs. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Finally, let us pray for all those things for which our Lord would have us ask, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please stand. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the world. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the world. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the world.
Come, let us worship him.
You may be seated. Thus says the Lord, "What have I done, O my people, and wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For I have raised you up out of the prison house of sin and death, and you have delivered up your Redeemer to be scourged. For I have redeemed you from the house of bondage, and you have nailed your Savior to the cross. O my people, Holy Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, leave us not to bitter death. O Lord, have mercy. Thus says the Lord, "What have I done to you, O my people, and wherein have I offended you? Answer me. For I have conquered all your foes, and you have given me over and delivered me to those who persecute me. For I have fed you with my word and refreshed you with living water, and you have given me gall and vinegar to drink. O my people, Holy Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, allow us not to lose hope in the face of death and hell. O Lord, have mercy." Thus says the Lord, "What have I done to you, O my people, and wherein have I offended you? Answer me. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? My people, is this how you thank your God? O my people, Holy Lord God, holy and mighty God, holy and most merciful Redeemer, God eternal, keep us steadfast in the true faith. O Lord, have mercy."
Lamb of God,
We adore you, O Lord, and we praise and glorify your holy resurrection. For behold, by the wood of your cross, joy has come into the world. God, be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, and have mercy upon us. We adore you, O Lord, and we praise and glorify your holy resurrection. For behold, by the wood of your cross, joy has come into all the world. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you. We implore you, O Lord, that your steadfast blessing may be upon your people, who have had the passion and death of your Son in devout remembrance, that we may receive your pardon and the gift of your comfort, and may increase in faith and take hold of eternal salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.